Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery.
Hi everyone, today I'm joined by Lauren Zaya, Akashic Records reader, healer and shadow worker. Lauren speaks to me today about her discovery and development of her own psychic senses and how that led her into discovering the Akashic Records, which have been a huge part of her own healing journey. During today's episode, we discuss what Akashic Records are, how to access them, and how to unlock memories or an inner knowing about our past lives. We also take a look into some of my records, and I share how this has shed light and given me a deeper understanding on how and why I am living my life as it is today. And why, may you ask, would we want to learn about our past lives? Well, past lives are the soul circling around on its voyage to discover the truth of who we are. But also, just knowing about your past life or lives can help uncover what could be an underlying cause for your problems or pain points you're living out in this lifetime. So sometimes all it can take is a deeper understanding in order to help us grow into the best version of ourselves in this lifetime. Okay, I can't wait to dive into this one. Let's start the show. So, hi Lauren, how are you today?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm really good. I am really happy that we meditated before we click record. I'm feeling chill.
Yeah, chilled, blissed out. Thank you. That was beautiful.
Yeah, it's always nice to do, isn't it? I think after like a busy day, it's good to come back and just take a moment before, moving into another task. Where are you dialing in from today?
Yeah, I'm here in Tulum, Mexico. I'm leaving in a few days, though. I'm heading out for more adventures. So my last week here for a while.
Oh, wow. Where are you going next?
I'm heading to Colombia to actually sit with plant medicine for a week. This is my second time going to Colombia for that reason. And then I'm headed to Costa Rica for a month to travel around a bit and do my own thing. I'm not really sure why I'm being called there, but we'll find out.
So. I love that. I love that so much. I think that's amazing when you can just, listen to what you need and just go with it. And how exciting. Well, keep us posted on your journey. I follow you on Instagram, so I'll be looking forward to seeing your gorgeous updates. I'm in like rainy, snowy Amsterdam at the moment, so I'm quite jealous of the sun.
Yeah. At least it's almost spring, right? One more month. True. And almost there.
That's true. And it is nice to observe the seasons. The older I get, the more I'm like, okay, it's nice to enjoy it, but still crave some sunshine, not going to lie. But today we're going to talk about Akashic Records and uncovering past lives. And I'm really looking forward to talking about this. And also just to share, I think openly, I was really searching for a while to speak to someone about Akashic Records. And I kind of just left it out to the universe to, to see who would come. And then you actually reached out to me about Akashic Records, and I was like, no way, like this is the person I'm supposed to speak to. I just knew immediately, and it's funny that we both felt this kind of sync with each other. So I'm thrilled that you're here, Lauren, and you've also given me an Akashic Records reading before, and it was amazing. So we'll also dive into a bit of that experience, but before we go into that, would you mind just sharing, to kind of take a step back, what Akashic Records actually are?
For sure. It is, from my understanding of it, the last 5-6 years, It is a dimension of consciousness. It's pure light. It's accessible to all of us. It's, you know, there's no hierarchy. We all have access to this. And it's a realm in which the information of everything, every imprint of every soul, some people say that has come to Earth, and it really focuses on more of your Earth lives and Earth realities. But from my experience, it's every soul that has ever existed, period.
Wow.
So when you think about how intelligent life is and how intelligent the planet is and how intelligent the human body is, when you extend out from the limitations that have been placed on us, like when you look at our pure form and then how intelligent the universe is, like, well, of course there is a system to store information. And that system is the Akashic Records. So it's a place where every thought, every feeling, every emotion, every memory, every past life and future, really, because it's all happening in the now, is stored. And there's even this Egyptian king, King Akhenaten. And this is a time when Egypt was really divided in religion. Like, there were a million little gods and everyone worshiped a different little god. And his sole purpose was not to unite the people to return to that truth that there's just one, right, one creator, but just to say that so it was stored in the Akashic Records so it could be accessed at a later time. Does that make sense?
It does. That's crazy. Yeah. Thanks so much for explaining. It's like, I've heard about the Akashic Records and done some reading about it, but it's good to hear it from someone's mouth. Because I think it's just one of those topics, like, I don't really think many people talk about, or maybe there's different explanations. So could you say, I don't know if this is like really simplifying it, but could you say it's not just a depository for souls then, it's also thoughts as well, is what you're saying. It's like a place for everything to coexist from, past lives in terms of souls. Is it souls and thoughts or just souls?
It's the wisdom of the soul and the record of the soul, but your thoughts, your behaviors, actions, your beliefs, like, you can access all of that in there, right? Because it allows us to better understand ourselves. And that is a big reason of why I just decided to learn, because I was at a point in my life where I was really lost. And I just wanted to understand why I am the way I am. So my thought patterns, my beliefs, my ancestral traumas, my past life experiences were all accessed through the Akashic Records. So I was able to then understand where I came from, what I experienced, what moments led to this lifetime of why I have all of these beliefs and restrictions and limitations and thoughts and feelings.
That's really cool. And I was going to ask you, like, why was it that you came into working on the Akashic Records for yourself? Would you mind sharing a bit more of how that unfolded for you? You don't have to go into all the traumas, but whatever you're comfortable to share.
And I guess I'll introduce myself as well. My business name, which is funny because my Instagram name was Lauren on Earth about like 3 years prior to starting my business. I think I changed it. So maybe it was a little bit of foreshadowing because I resisted this path so much. My business name is Lauren on Earth, and that's what a lot of people call me. My last name is Zaire, but it's nowhere to be found.
No, it's not.
My website, on Instagram. So people, you know, that I don't know too well, like, that is just what they call me and what, you know, I'm in their phone as, which is funny. But yeah, I'm an Akashic Records reader, a healer and shadow worker, which I can get a little bit more into too of what that means. But I'm also a teacher of psychic development. I'm a cosmic channel and galactic astrologer. So there's been many different paths that I've taken since, but it really all started with first Reiki. I was attuned to Reiki back in 2017. And then in 2018, I found the Akashic Records. So at that time, I was living in Los Angeles, but I had moved there in 2016, suffering from a chronic illness. And I know why now. I was really negative toward myself, so much negative self-talk, just like dislike for myself in all ways, shape, and form. And I suffered from an eating disorder for a very long time as well, with a couple of hospitalizations and very restrictive. So my body in 2015 just started breaking down. And I'm like, I don't understand. But now I'm like, well, of course, you were disassociated from the body, you were detached, you didn't want to be in the body. So the physical manifestations were beginning to form. And the interesting part is I had already found yoga, I was studying holistic nutrition, I was drinking juice, but the negative thought patterns and the control that my mind had over me, like I could drink all the green juice in the world, but it wasn't making me any healthier. Mm-hmm. And I had to move home, actually. I was living in Charleston, South Carolina, for those from the States. It's a southern city. It's very southern. So my friends were, you know, still drinking soda and eating fried chicken. And I just knew I had to leave. And it was very hard to leave. I was there for 6 years, but I moved up back home to New Jersey, where I'm from, because I couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't, pretty much couldn't get out of bed for about 10 months. I had to be home. My outings for the week was a trip to the grocery store, and then I had no more energy to do anything else. So I was seeing a lot of conventional doctors at the time running tests because my nervous system was the problem. Like, that was the root where I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk for long periods of time. And there were times where, like, picking up food with a fork and putting it to my mouth, like, my arm just couldn't get there. So I was aware of of alternative medicine, but I was still getting all these tests run, and these doctors were just like, yeah, you're fine, or we can't find anything, or your case is too complicated, or you don't want to take medication. What are you even doing here? There's the door. I had one person tell me there's the door when I just wanted to get, you know, routine blood work to then take to my naturopath. But I wound up finding a naturopath, and I started to hear these voices as these doctors were telling me no, and that as a 23-year-old girl that I'm gonna have to deal with the leg pain and just learn to live with it. And I kept hearing this voice say no. This is not true. Don't believe what they're saying. You can heal. Listen. And I recognize, it might have taken me a few months, but I recognized that it was a voice from outside of me. It wasn't my mind. And it was spirit, because when I was younger, I remembered the exact same thing in terms of religion. When I was sitting in a Sunday school class, learning about, you know, what they teach in Sunday school, where it was like, if you think bad thoughts, if you think bad thoughts, Jesus will be upset and you're a bad person. And I remember sitting at the table, like, thinking, oh my gosh, like, that's really scary. And then I thought about sex, and I was like young, I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was bad. So like, that popped into my mind, and I was just spiraling of like, oh my gosh, I thought something bad and I couldn't even control it. I'm going to a bad place. And then I heard a voice say, no, don't, it's okay. Calm down, detach, basically from what was being taught in religion. Cause my mom was an avid church goer, forced me into the church. It was a whole thing. And from that moment, I just always remained separate from it. And I just had this like deja vu moment of like, oh, this voice, okay, this has happened before, and kind of put it together that this was something higher than my human. Maybe it was my higher self, maybe it was my guides, but that is guiding me. So I was guided out to LA in a very weird chain of events, and I started to heal. And it took about 5 years. I officially got I had Epstein-Barr and chronic fatigue syndrome, and you know, all those other labels that they stamp on, I don't know what's going on with you, but the Epstein-Barr was something that could really be confirmed, and it came up in a lot of tests. It's just a virus that was like running rampant in my body and really attacking my immune system. And in 2020, it was finally managed, and now it's completely gone. Like when I get tests run with frequencies, with you know, different technologies. So I was in LA, and the messages started to get more and more and more, and I started to pick up on what other people were thinking and get messages for other people. And then was in a relationship at the time where he was Sagittarius and a little unfaithful and not loyal, and I was getting messages about that, and it's, you know, like, how do I say this, how do I know this? And so I was really struggling because I just wanted to be a normal person, and now I've never been normal. I've always been, you know, the weird one, and now you're telling me I'm psychic and I have to deal with that. I just for so long really tried to stop it. And then I went to Peru with one of my you know, childhood friends. She's type A, New York City socialite, and I'm like the California hippie. And we go to Peru, and I knew I needed to sit with ayahuasca, and she wanted nothing to do with it. She was like, I don't want to hear about it. Go do your thing, and we're not going to talk about it. And I did it. And I saw, I had been asking for a mentor, for someone to teach me like how to use these abilities, what they mean. And now there's so many more teachers out there, but at the time it was really hard to find. So I saw the face of my next teacher, who I knew, but I didn't know she taught. And then 2 days later on a bus, I was going up the Andes Mountains in Peru, no service, but I just looked on I was just, you know, on Instagram, even when there's no service, just, you know, we're addicted like that. But I saw a photo that she posted announcing her very first intuitive reader foundation course. And I got home and I signed up for it. And then 3 weeks later, I started learning the Akashic Records. So I was simultaneously taking a course for the Akashic Records and a course for psychic development. And that's really where it all began. So long story long, sorry. But that is kind of the journey of how I found it. And in the moment, I was like, I just need this for myself. I wasn't even thinking about helping other people, but I was like, I need to know what's not wrong with me. But that was the language I was, you know, using at the time. Why am I the way I am? And thought that this would be a really great tool because I couldn't afford to get consistent readings and really work with a healer at the time. Yeah. So 2 years later, during the pandemic, I was studying, almost done with my clinical herbalism degree, where I thought I would be using my intuitive abilities for my clients, my patients for herbalism. And all of that was just, it was like, nope, you're reading for people. So I came out of the spiritual closet to everyone I knew, and my business kind of just took off from there, and here we are today.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing your story. I think it's amazing, and congrats for kind of getting to where you are today, because I think there's it just sounds like there's so much healing that has gone into that journey, and a lot of growth and a lot of change. And I think, you know, it is a really scary thing to change your life and actually to listen to those voices that sometimes I think we block out, and it just sounds like you're well, you have built up so much strength and awareness for that, and to listen to spirit is so beautiful. And I think there's people that are listening who can relate to kind of building on that themselves and just trying to trust, rather than stay within the logical things that we should be doing or society's told us that we should be doing. I'm curious to know, because you mentioned, I guess, the Akashic records kind of were presented to you in a way when you were on this path of healing. Was that something that you really dived into for yourself as well and uncovered your own past lives as part of that process? And what did that look like for you?
Yeah, it was about 2 years of working in that space for myself and only myself before mm-hmm. I started to read for other people. I did have a friend that I met who we would once a week practice on each other. Mm-hmm. So that was really helpful for me, because it is definitely harder to read for yourself than it is for other people.
Okay.
But I do teach, you know, and do a certification course once a year. And we're working with both, right? Like, we're working in your own records and then we're practicing on each other. And once we get to that part in the class where we start to practice on each other, every single time, everyone's like, wow, it's so much easier. Oh my gosh, because we're so emotionally tied sometimes to our things that it's hard to separate that when you're in the Akashic records. So I had a lot of time to work on that, where I was, and there were points in this very pivotal 2 years where I was meditating for like 1 to 2 hours a day. Wow. And really helping to like separate my human and all of her things from my divine self, right? And even now, still, like, I still get readings, you know, every maybe 3 times a year, because, or if I'm going through something, because sometimes when we're so attached to it, it's really hard to get clear, accurate information for yourself. Yeah. And as a healer, as I'm sure you know, the importance of receiving, and when we don't allow ourselves to receive and think we need to do it all ourselves. So yeah, it's important to be able to use this as a tool in the day-to-day, and then also be able to receive that support from someone else in those times where things feel a little bit more chaotic and uneasy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I'm kind of moving through that myself at the moment, where I have big life questions and I read the tarot, which is my kind of tool to help with, you know, with life situations or to turn to. And at the moment, I feel that I don't want to keep using it because I don't want to inject bias. And I kind of want to, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for, I used my old me, like that old conditioned me, was like planning everything, like always planning and always needing to know everything. And now I'm like, no, sometimes I just feel and trust more when I need to leave something open rather than always looking for an answer or striving for an answer to fix something. And just, I don't know, I think there's something to be said around that. And I also kind of turn towards non-biased friends or, you know, someone I can really, speak to that's a little bit outside of my group even, because it's, I think that's really important. So thank you for sharing that. I would love to know how you download messages and what is your personal method of accessing the records? Because am I right in an understanding? And when I had my session with you, it was really interesting to watch you actually, because it really did look like you were just like fully channeling and like light. It felt so pure. But is it kind of an energy of channeling or how do, I would love to know a bit more about how you access it for yourself.
It's funny because sometimes I just catch glimpses of myself in the camera too, and I'm like squinting and it looks like I'm like trying to read really fine print. And I'm just, you know, it's very far away. So I'm a channel and an intuitive and read the Akashic, but they can be separate, right? So it's like I can be receiving information not in the records, which does happen, but I do really like to be held within that confined space of the records, because there's for one reason, right, we have the astral plane that sits right above the physical plane, where there's a lot of confusion, right? There's the lower astral plane, where there's a lot of mischievous energies and beings, and sometimes when you're channeling, we think we're connecting up to the light, but we're not, and then we're kind of pulling information that isn't necessarily in the highest good or for the highest good of all, or sometimes it's even like false timelines to confuse that person, right? There's a lot of games that are played within spirituality, which I'm sure you've witnessed to some degree, of the importance of discernment and being able to know like what is pure and what is distorted. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the records, the chance of distortion is minimalized by a lot, because there are keepers of the records, and you know when you're in that space, it feels like pure love and you're familiar with it. So there's no interference in the messages that are coming through, versus there are channelers who are connecting to, you know, a being that will say it's of the light and it's not, and feeding all this information. Like a lot of the fear timelines, remember a few years ago, it was like, oh, blackouts and like stock up on food and that's all to scare us. That's not God source that's talking like that. So for me, it just feels like there's more detail. There's a book that talks about the Akashic records, and she describes Akashic versus intuition so well. And she kind of describes a theater, like a stage, and how the intuition is like one spotlight on the stage where it's highlighting just a small portion of information. Intuition is great for day to day, right? Of like guiding you along. And then the Akashic records is like the entire stage is illuminated, where you see everything.
I like that.
So that's why I choose to read the Akashic records versus doing intuitive readings. And it's been 6 years of developing these gifts and channeling. So now it's just really part of my everyday, and messages come in all ways. First, when I was younger and when I was learning, it really only came through feeling and knowing, clairsentience and claircognizance. Mm-hmm. So I would feel things very deeply and then just like have this knowing, even though I didn't, no one told me or I didn't see anything, but I just knew. And now I'm very visual. But back then, and I'm going on a bit of a tangent, but I'll come back because I think this is important. I was not visual at all. I was black. I couldn't see anything. And this was like year one of studying the Akashic records. So one whole year and one whole year of the psychic development, and I'm still not seeing. So I was frustrated. And I remember practicing with someone in class, and she was like, oh my gosh, you're so visual. And everyone would tell me I'm visual, and I would have to say, no, I'm not, I see nothing. And she was like, there's this crown and all these jewels on it and so many gifts. And she's like, I know you're visual, because I don't often get visuals. It's like when you're reading for different people, the way in which the messages come through change a little bit. So I told her, no, not me. And she said, yes, you, but you're 80% out of body and only 20% in your body. So all of these gifts that you have are not able to translate into earth, into your physical reality, because you're not in your body. So it was this whole journey for me of, okay, she's right. I've you know, was disassociated for many reasons, trauma, whatever it is, not wanting to be here, which I'm sure we can all relate to at some point in time. So like, how do I become embodied? How do I ground? How do I love myself and enjoy this earth experience? And it took me some time to figure it out. And then the sight came, and it came really strong, and many, many, many gifts followed that. So for anyone who's frustrated or feeling like, why am I only feeling? Why am I not seeing? It's, we all have these clairs that are more prominent than others. And maybe it is really getting comfortable with what's already coming natural to you before you start to expand out. But I do believe that we have access to all. There just might be these like quote unquote blocks, but the blocks are just lessons. They're not, you know, here to harm us in any way. But I think also part of it is really being slow and trusting the process, because it is a level of mastery to be able to communicate with the spirit world. So for the Akashic records, I say a sentence. I started with a prayer. The prayer was a little long, but it really helped ground you into the moment. It like said all of the right things to get you prepared to be able to enter that space. And now it's just through intention or through a sentence that I say.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And that, yeah, that journey of just like loving yourself more, I think is really important. I think embodiment has actually been a real theme for this season of the podcast. I think it's you know, and like you were saying with your name, Lauren on Earth, it's you know, even when we're working with like these high frequency energies, it is really, I've also learned that the hard way. It's really not the hard way, but I've learned a lesson of needing to be grounded and how things do change when you are in a more grounded place. So I think that's a really important message. And I would just love to know from you, why do you think it's useful? You spoke a bit about intuition versus Akashic records then, which is a really great distinction. So what would people find useful for accessing and understanding past lives?
Yeah. I will say that the past, like with any information in the records, it comes exactly when you're ready for it and when you need to hear it.
Okay.
So a lot of times people will ask, like, tell me about my past lives. And that question can be a little tricky because not everything is in your best interest to know of what happened, right, in your past experiences. So for my journey with the past lives, it was like slowly I was collecting these memories and they were coming through at the exact moment that they needed to come through. And I think, you know, for me, having been exploring this at a time where it wasn't as common, helped me. I feel like if I did, you know, kind of wake up with the masses back in 2020, I'd be a little more like antsy to know.
Yeah.
But I wasn't in a rush because I wasn't trying to share it with anyone. And, you know, so, it helped me. And the first time I ever saw a past life, I was having a really hard time at home with a roommate that wasn't so great. And not wanting to lock the doors. And my question was like, why am I so traumatized by this? And a past life came through of basically living in Scandinavia, like 1400s, way, way, way long time ago. And I was this like spunky, like 14-year-old girl, but kind of looked like a boy a little bit and really liked to forage and whatever, and that my village, the tents were raided and we were killed. Right. So it's like, oh, that's the root. That's the beginning of why I feel afraid in my own home, or I don't feel safe in my own home, versus, you know, just being like, all right, show me something about my past lives. So the way I like to go through this in session is, okay, what we're either wanting to to look at a past life where you were really in your power and a lifetime you were proud of, where you really shine as a person, to help with the solar plexus activations and feeling confident, or looking at a recurring theme or pattern or struggle or something like why you show up this certain way in relationships. And then we're looking into the past lives of where that pattern continued and what the root of that was and what your journey has looked like to release this pattern and to heal. So those are the two ways that I like to go, the direction I like to go in session.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love it so much because it's just empowering people, isn't it, into their current life. But I also have had a few past life experiences that have come up, and it's explained a lot. And yeah, I think it's just trusting that feeling as well when you have it of, this is true for me.
And I think too that we, often feel bad about ourselves. Like, I'll just give an example for me with in past relationships, like a codependency. Mm-hmm. And without understanding why, it's like, well, what's wrong with me? Why am I like this? Why can't I be different? Right. So the understanding the past life aspect, even the ancestral piece too, because a lot of this stuff mm-hmm. comes from our ancestors, right? Helps you be at peace and not make it so personal, and more of a neutral acceptance of like, okay, yeah, this is a behavior I exhibit and it doesn't mean anything about me. And now I understand more of why this is happening. And not only that, but the other reason I love the records is because you're given steps to now work through this and heal this, which was really, really helpful for me in my journey of like, and it's like you get the next three steps and then you take the action and then you come back and you're like, okay, what timeline am I on now? Where am I? What other messages need to come through for me to work through this and heal this? So
I love that. And definitely explains why it's useful. I think there's so many reasons that we can go through. And yeah, you also accessed some of my records when you spoke to me about some of my past lives, which I wasn't expecting actually. And I really was being open to our session, but I was really just so blown away by some of the things that you shared with me. And I had to Google, I told you before we click record, some of these places, because they are quite out there. And you shared with me that some of my past lives came from lost worlds, like Lemuria. Am I saying that right?
Lemuria.
Mm-hmm. And Pleiades. Is that also the right way to say? Mm-hmm. Thanks. And I know you said you're going to share with me some books as well, so I can read more on these. But yeah, I actually hadn't heard of those lands before. I'd heard of Atlantis, I think, which is one of the most kind of common ones that people know. But then, yeah, finding out a bit more that they're sort of lost civilizations, constellations. And yeah, I just honestly didn't know too much about them and found it really interesting. So I don't know if you wouldn't mind sharing a bit more about these lands, because you did describe them to me during the reading. But I mean, some of these concepts are so out there. I do believe in them, but I think it's also great to talk about them because they aren't talked about enough, otherwise we would know about them. So yeah, do you know a little bit more about them, Lauren, these two that specifically?
Yeah, I'll start with Lemuria, because this was a civilization that was here on this planet, versus Pleiades is another star system. So, we're taught in our history books that human civilization started like Mesopotamia times, like ancient Sumeria. And, there are scientists that are finding fossils and finding proof that humans existed long before this timeline of 6,000 years. So Lemuria was one of the first civilizations on this planet that was, they were more in light bodies than physical bodies, but generally humans, and they were here really laying the foundation for humanity. Their lifetimes were longer. They looked different. You know, their civilizations were much different, very heart-centered, very connected to source. They were well aware of the cosmos and what was beyond the earth plane versus, you know, for a very long time we were in the dark about that, but they knew, and they were very community centered, and they really cared for one another. Like one example, not many women would birth children. The lifetimes were so long that, you know, children weren't being birthed constantly, but when the time came, the elders and the community would all be involved, and the mother was the mother, but like the child was a child of everyone. Everyone took care of the child, and there was, a lot of things like that. Where, you know, for me, when I started traveling, I was like, I know there's this place on Earth that's pure heart, and trying to find it, and you know, and then when I was 24, Spirit was like, stop traveling to look for this place. The point of your travels is to really be present in your body and in the culture, and really immerse in the experience. Stop looking for something else. But they introduced me to Lemuria, which is what my soul was looking for. That still very much exists, right? It exists within all of us. Like, you carry the memory of that time where we were all in unconditional and unified love. And that land still holds the codes of that as well, like Mount Shasta and Hawaii, and really a lot of California and the Polynesian Islands. So why does this come up in readings? Because we're unlocking that memory. So that information, the codes, the light that the body is storing from this time starts to strengthen and expand, and then you start to remember, and then you start to share that energy out into the world.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy just to share a bit about the Lemuria, because like when you were just speaking, I had like full chills when you were talking about the children piece, because I've always had like quite a complex relationship or thought process about wanting to have children, and then when you were talking about that, it was like, oh, like I just had chills. It's like that feels like a remembering, and also just the light stuff that you were speaking about. I've always felt as a kid like I have this light. Like when I close my eyes, I just see light, and when I receive messages from spirit, for me, I'm starting to develop that more. But it is this light. It's like a pure lightness of energy that I feel, see, and I just do receive messages as light. And when I channel through sound, it's also, anyway, just like channeling through light. So thank you for sharing that, because that's just like, I don't know, I still find these concepts so out there, but I think it's really beautiful to feel that in the body, that resonance when something feels true. So thanks for sharing.
And do you want me to quickly share about the ladies?
Yeah, I would love to know, because I couldn't find much information on this one when I was Googling.
Yeah, they are, it's a star system. You can see it in the night sky. It's like a cluster of seven stars.
Okay.
And especially now, at least where I'm located, because you have Orion, Sirius, and then the Pleiades, like kind of all in a band. But it is kind of far. Four light years away, so quite in the distance, but they are a humanoid species. And they live on the Pleiades star cluster, so they look like us, very similar bodies, very similar build. Generally they're a bit more, like their skin is a bit whiter, they're more known with blonde hair, blue eyes, that species at least, but they can incarnate any skin type, any race here on Earth. And there are many, many, many of them that are here at this time. And they are, it makes sense. Like to me, they were the first to make contact back in 2018. And for a lot of people, they're the first to make contact because they're so gentle, so soft, so loving. They glow, they're beautiful. And, you know, there's a lot of beings out there in our galaxy that a lot of people would be like, whoa, like, that scares me. But the Pleiadians, they know how, yeah, they're very good at making that contact and making people feel comfortable and safe. And they are healers. They are, they love animals. They're creatives. They have these beautiful communities. Their planets are similar to Earth in many ways. A lot of the same animals, same minerals, same natural landscapes. So they are here at this time to help us heal and help us with the ascension process, because they have gone through it and they have the tools, right, to be able to help guide us. There's a book that I'll recommend. It's by Barbara Marciniak called Bringers of the Dawn. It was one of the first channeled books that I read. It's a Pleiadian channeled book, and they're very gentle in talking about, like, helping us make sense of the why, like wrapping the logical mind around everything in a way that's really gentle. So I recommend reading that if you not only feel connected to the Pleiadians, but also if you're just curious and wanting to learn more.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing these concepts and lands. And I think it is really, really fascinating. And I don't think it's talked about enough. So thank you for sharing your wisdom here today, Lauren. And before we close, have you got anything else you'd like to share about yourself, or just, how people can get in touch with you? If they'd like to.
Yeah, I would love to offer a code, like a first time code for any listeners who are drawn to this or feel a call to explore the Akashic Records. And I will share that with you for maybe the notes.
Yeah, we can.
And I'm also teaching amazing. Teaching a course. My course is coming up. I do it once a year in the spring to learn how to read the Akashic Records, whether you're already channeling and want to add this to your practice, or you are brand new, but like me, just knew this is the next path or what you needed for your own journey. So that starts April 5th. So I'm really excited for that. And yeah, my Instagram is Lauren on Earth. My website is laurenonearth.com. I share a lot of these mysteries, this information about lost civilizations and other planets, and, you know, messages that just come through me on Instagram. So if you feel resonance, I'd love to connect there as well.
Thanks so much, Lauren. Well, I've loved chatting to you today. And I'm definitely going to be diving into lots of the books that you're going to share that we can pop in the show notes, because it's definitely opened up new thoughts and theories in my mind about just life and just being more curious to these things. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was so fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast, the podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. This season, creative production is by Emily Lasbury and co-production by George Lasbury. If you'd like to stay connected to what we're up to, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Magic and Mindfulness, and maybe share these episodes with a friend or give us a review or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. This helps us to keep spreading the message and light work that we do. We appreciate every single one of you that tunes in. So stay well, stay safe, and see you soon.